After Buzzers. If you didn't know, it's Kevin Undergaro, the executive producer of After Buzz, along with my partner, Maria Menounos.
Hi, everybody.
And Maria and I, as you know, have put so much time and money into the After Buzz TV product and really haven't seen a lot in return.
Nope, not yet.
But one of the ways you guys can actually help us is by tuning into our new reality show, Chasing Maria Menounos. It premieres Tuesday, March 18th, 10 o'clock, 9 p.m. Central, and features me and Maria basically bickering, fighting.
No.
No?
No, it's not just bickering and fighting. You get an inside look into my life, behind the scenes.
You'll also get a behind the scenes look at AfterBuzz.
It's really funny. It's not just bickering, and it's not fake either. So that's actually something
to think about. It's definitely not fake. It's definitely not fake. But please tune in to Chasing Maria Menounos on Oxygen, Tuesday, March 18th at 10 p.m. All of your support will help AfterBuzz because Maria certainly won't.
So rude.
You're listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network, now the largest new media platform on the web and your number one source for after-show entertainment.
Very good, Gene
Johnson.
AfterBuzz TV. From the AfterBuzz Studios in Los Angeles, California, presented by Maria Menounos and streaming live thanks to Akamai Technologies, this is AfterBuzz TV's Keeping Up with the Kardashians After Show. We'll break down tonight's episode and get you all the latest news and gossip. And now, another post-game wrap-up show for your favorite TV show. It's AfterBuzz TV's Keeping Up with the Kardashians After Show.
What's love got to do? Got to do with it.
Nothing.
What's love? Sucking handy.
Oh, yes. Get it. Get it.
What up, everybody? Welcome to Keeping Up with the Kardashians. I know y'all listening to Tina Turner saying, what in the world is going on in the studio right now? But that's What's Love Got to Do with It? And that is a question that's being posed on today's episode. So welcome, everybody. I'm Stefan. Sitting next to me is Miss
Jesse Owen.
Sitting next to her.
Hello, hello. It's Francesca.
Mm-hmm.
Next to her.
And next to her.
What am I, chop liver? It's Danielle Pacenti. Hello.
Yes. Welcome, Danielle, everybody. Danielle's new to the team.
Hello.
This is going to be our crew. KW. Wait, keeping up.
KUWTK.
We got it going on.
Did y'all cheer? Did y'all cheer in high school or something?
Okay. I didn't actually.
Actually, yes.
I felt like
I'm afraid to admit it.
The unison just now that happened. Yeah. All right. So anyway, this episode is pretty exciting. There's a couple things going on, and this is called The Courage to Change. Mm-hmm. And some of you all need the courage to change. So right now, at the sound of my voice, when I say three, I need you to make a no, I'm kidding. I don't know where I'm even going with that. Let's get into it, man. Let's talk about Courtney and Scott. Courtney and Scott, which we have said before, they have the more stable of the relationships, but everything could use a little tweaking, and they are doing some tweaking to their relationship, and we found out a few things. So they go to Miraval, which is in Tucson, Arizona. Shout out to all our Arizona peeps out there.
Yeah. I'm from AZ.
Are you?
Yeah.
That's what I meant. Shout out to Danielle. Yeah. In the building, AZ in the building. So Miraval is a retreat and spa, and there's a lot of activities going on there. How'd y'all like Miraval for Courtney and Scott?
I thought it was a neat way for therapy. You know, a way to stay active and not just sit in a room and chat.
Yeah.
So I thought it was really neat. I'm not sure I would have climbed up the telephone pole. But
the totem pole, as Scott called it.
The totem pole. Yeah. No, I thought it was pretty interesting. Using activities, group activities, that you have to kind of rely on each other to help pull out that need for communication, support. You know, they did a lot of reflection. I thought it was a pretty good situation, especially when we got down to our the talking group or the whatever.
Talk, Talking Circle.
Talking Circle.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Talking Circle. You know, it was, what's the guy's name? I wrote his name down. Oh, Tony Redhouse.
Yeah.
Why do Indian guys always, no, I mean, I don't know. Anyway, what a funny name, though. It's cool. Tony Redhouse. Shout out to all my Native Americans that keep up with the Kardashians. So in the talking circle, you got to pass the feather. It's like passing the baton or the talking stick.
I think it's funny how every time like Courtney gets put in that awkward situation, she just laughs. Do you notice that?
Yeah,
like,
she just never like,
okay, I don't have anything to say.
Yeah. It's funny because Scott was like, you always have these great ideas, Courtney, but you never participate in them. And it's funny because she goes up the pole, doesn't want any help from Scott. She's like, no, Scott, fine. And then, you know, the stick, and she doesn't talk. She says maybe one thing.
Yeah, which is totally true. I mean, for instance, last episode, it was Courtney's idea to have that garage sale.
Yeah.
And then she was like, not wanting to give anything away. It's totally her personality.
Yeah,
it is. I think, like they said, you know, she suppresses her feelings, but I also think it's, you know, you have to look at Kim. Everyone's, like, needs that attention, so she just kind of sits back and watches. I think she's not used to really getting the attention. Like, you remember a few episodes ago, like, even when they were showing the video of her father, and her father called Courtney Kim.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's like she's always kind of been, like, that middle child syndrome. She's the oldest, right?
She is the oldest.
Yeah, I thought Kim was the oldest.
No, Courtney's the oldest. Kim is the favorite, and Chloe's the baby girl of the girls.
Which is interesting. Usually the middle is not the favorite.
Right.
They're the neglected.
Kim is the shining light of the Kardashian clan. One of the things I really like, though, I love the fact that Scott was he opened up, number one, which I thought was really cool. And Scott actually seemed like the person who needed the least help in this whole reflection and retreat. He was kind of like, let me help you. Let me help you get up on top of the totem pole or whatever. Let me help you and let me talk first when he got the feather. He didn't wait on anybody. He opened up.
Yeah.
He said some things that was on his heart. Poured his heart out.
Scott embraces it. I think over the seasons, too, he just continually grows on me because he embraces every scenario, and he's grown through the process. So I just feel like, you know, he stands out in my mind.
Yeah, because at the beginning of the seasons, like when the whole Kardashians ever started, like, you didn't really like Scott.
No, I hated him. Like, I absolutely hated him.
Yeah.
I've loved Scott from the beginning.
Have you really?
Typical.
The whole time.
Yeah.
Typical male. I love him.
He's always, he speaks his mind. He does, they said in the episode, he jokes a lot about his feelings, which I do notice he's always done that, but he always says what's on his mind.
Mm-hmm.
So I love that he kept it real, even when it came down to calling Kim out or calling Chris out. He'll do it.
Yeah.
He's got a lot of heart, that kid. I like him.
I like when he told Courtney, you know, she needs to open up. You can't just run to your mom.
Yes, which tells us something. It tells us that that's what she does. And when you're in a relationship, I don't want to get biblical, but the Bible says you leave your mother and your father, you cleave to your wife or you cleave to your husband. You know, so it's like if you're still hanging on to your mom or calling mommy for issues, that's going to cause dissension between you guys.
Right.
He just wants her to trust him, and that's part of it is just that she's not quite there yet. And so he just wants her to open up. Because you see them joke around and you see that dynamic all the time on the show. It's so funny between them, but you never really see them get into serious conversations. But you always see Courtney get into serious conversations with Chloe and Kim.
Right.
So I think he just wants to feel like she can open up to him.
She also probably has trust issues just because all the stuff that Scott over the years has, like, put her through. So it's like, it's probably hard for her to open up to him.
Mm-hmm.
Well, she literally said that. She said, I don't trust Scott.
Yeah. And, I mean, you blame her, though? I mean,
but she has to get past it at some point.
At some point.
He has kind of proven himself over the last, you know, couple years that he can be responsible and trustworthy. So when do you get past that, I guess, is the question.
Yeah, and it's, yeah. I mean, it's, I guess it's different for different people.
He's still doing stuff like, you know, he lied to her about going to the strip club and, you know, even though it was for promoting and he wasn't doing anything wrong, he still lied. Mm-hmm. Like, why lie? He's like one of those guys that lie about the smallest things to, like, so he doesn't get in trouble, but he ends up getting caught and he gets in more trouble.
Right.
So it's like, be honest. Come on.
It's a weird conundrum. As a guy, I guess I'll speak for the guys. I think a small lie like that is a guy's version of trying to protect a situation from happening, and then something happens.
Yeah.
So, in essence, he was trying to avoid any rift between the two, right? So if he could have just gotten through the strip club night or the promotion, wasn't really a strip club night, his relationship would have been fine. Yeah. But, you know, then he gets caught in the thing, and it's a whole thing, and now he's a liar, and trust goes back down, and so, poor Scott, he can't win.
It's a brutal
cycle. But Scott, hopefully he'll come around, hopefully they will accept him, and trust him, and
yeah.
Well, come around.
I thought it was really funny, they were at the top of the totem pole, or whatever, telephone pole, whatever they're calling it, and they're about to jump, and Scott's like, wait. You want to do 3-2-1 or 1-2-3, you know? But it seems like that's so silly, but it's like that little bit of communication. It's like, are you a 1-2-3 type person or a 3-2-1 type person? We need to know each other, you know? And them being this deep in their relationship, they've been together for so many years. They don't know if they're a 3-2-1 or a 1-2-3.
Yeah.
That's big to me. You know, I would hope. Two kids in with my girl, I would know, or what? She would know.
What are you, a 1-2-3 or a 3-2-1?
I'm a 1-2-3.
Okay. Good to know. I was wondering.
I don't know. I think it depends on what you're doing. If it's like workouts, I'm counting down, because then when I get to one, it's the end. I'm done.
Yeah. Actually, I do.
But when I'm counting, like, food, it's like, yes, one more of this, one more of that. This is which is why you got to work out, so they work together.
Yeah. See, you go 1-2-3.
I'm a good communicator with myself.
You go up and down. One of the other things I really like, though, is that they're actually doing this. And what I mean by that is, you know, they're not married yet. They mm-hmm. do have kids and everything. They've been together for a while. But they're actually making an effort to build in their relationship and to grow. You know, they could just say, hey, we got kids, and remain plateaued, but they're like, let's go to a retreat, let's stretch ourselves, let's see somebody, let's have somebody else give us insight. The walk and talk with Lee, that was a little insight into Courtney's life. She needed somebody, a female, to actually say, look, you're really closed off, you're really shut down, and I think it's not just your personality. You can't just blame it on that. It's more something that's going on inside you from a kid. It was really reflective for Courtney.
Yeah.
Right. I still don't think they're going to get married, though. Just because, like, a little sneak peek from news and gossip. It was said that, you know, it was rumored that they were going to get married right after Kim or whatever. But it said that Courtney's happy with the way things are, happy with her life and how everything's going. So, she's what? How old is she? 36?
Something.
I don't think she's going to get married. They've been together too long. It's too comfortable. I think she likes the idea of if something were to happen, she could leave. There would be no divorce. There would be nothing like that.
I just can't. Leave. I can't picture them not being with each other, though.
Yeah. No.
Yeah, I think they'll forever be together, but I don't think they'll get married.
No.
I disagree. I think they will.
Maybe when they're older.
Yeah. I think they will at some point.
You predict they're going to get married.
Mm. I mean, she has to see what both of her sisters go through, so I'm sure she's like, I'm cool for now.
Yeah, no doubt. So it was really cool. They were in Arizona, and Courtney got an opportunity to open Scott up to the University of Arizona and their little Rathskeller hangout or whatever they were doing, pub or bar or something.
Freaking frogs or something. Freaking
And, you know, the other episode we were talking about them, none of them going to school, but we totally forgot. I think someone did mention in the comments that she did go to U of A, so.
Yeah.
I'm glad we got to see that. I had no idea until this episode. I was shocked. I mean, I went to Arizona State, but I had so many friends that went there, and I just had never heard that she went to University of Arizona. I didn't think she went to college.
I like how you said that. Like, you're so much better than university. I went to Arizona State.
I mean,
State.
Go Sun Devils. Absolutely.
Were they, like, really popular when she went to college?
That's what I was wondering about.
Probably not. Probably not. Because she's the eldest. So nobody was big time yet, I don't think.
I wonder how many years she actually went there. If it was just her freshman year and then she transferred back. Or,
right. Do we know?
Well, she said a few years of my life, so we know it was years. But
we got people out there. Let us know. If you know how long Courtney went to University of Arizona, hit us up. Comment.
Did she get
post.
A degree?
Did she get her degree?
Yeah.
And what in? Fashion?
It probably wasn't fashion. Well, maybe. Maybe.
No, she likes decorating.
She does.
What
do you say?
Like Beetlejuice.
That was the funniest comment.
Oh my God.
He said, this is what I like my house to look like instead of Beetlejuice.
Yeah.
I just think of Kim bashing on her for her wallpaper.
Yeah, she does go the extra mile when it comes to the patterns and the matching.
That's her thing. Not talking and wallpaper.
Which is kind of like how she vents, I guess.
Probably.
You know? That's her outlet. We got it!
She needs wallpaper. A change, so she changes the wallpaper.
She's like, I want to say like 30 things, but instead I'm going to repaper this bathroom.
Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice.
Right. So, speaking a little bit about fashion, you were talking about fashion, you mentioned. Chloe and Malika, who's joining her sidekick, they're doing a Kardashian collection tour, tour of some sort. She's traveling. She's speaking. I think she was in Dubai. She was in Australia, which, man, what a tour. That's awesome.
Yeah.
To be able to get to go there. Mm-hmm. So in the midst of doing her Kardashian collection speaking tour, she can't go anywhere without somebody asking the obvious, what's going on with Lamar?
I like that. She immediately looked probably at her publicist and was like,
yep.
Tell them to shut up
I'm just not going to speak. I'm just going to sit here.
I'm going to smile.
No, the publicist,
awkward moment.
Publicist actually says off camera, she's like, we're not answering any questions that aren't to do with fashion.
Yeah, this is only about fashion.
Yeah. Which was really cool.
When she did say, like, even when she said it in the confessional or whatever, that interview, she was like, I don't know what's going on. She kept reiterating, I don't actually know what's going on. So she just keeps saying that, like she knows nothing and she can't give 2 cents to anyone.
Well, she said that she hadn't seen him for 2 months and it was obvious that, you know, she couldn't get a hold of him that easily.
Yeah.
Which is so crappy on his part.
Right. And then, like we saw when they were going to dinner, he finally calls. But like, Kim.
She just hangs up.
Oh, it's like breaking up. I'll just hang up.
Yeah, what was that? Well, I don't understand.
I wasn't even as mad at that as I was, you know, that Chloe's going through something with Lamar. You're like, oh, is that Lamar?
I want to talk to him.
Let me talk to him. Yeah.
It's all, stop, get out of the way. Get out of the way. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? I haven't seen my husband in 2 months. He calls me. He's on the phone. She got him. Get out of the way. You know what I'm saying? Just leave it alone. So
this episode, Kim did not look good. At all, like she did that, and then when you know, we were finding about next topic later, but when we were finding about you know, Rob's weight problem, she's like, oh god, what now? And it's like,
and then she
you
makes,
are so
she makes
inconsiderate
that face.
And self involved, like, get over yourself. But enough about that,
but we always know,
tell us how you really feel.
Get him, Jesse.
Sorry,
but we always know that about Kim, though, right? I mean, there's never a question.
I just thought motherhood would change her. You know, like, she wouldn't just care about herself.
I just like to think that we just only see what the cameras show us. I'm sure she's really
I'm kind of with you there.
Well, I mean, you see her being supportive later on when they all join at Lamar and Chloe's old house to kind of give Chloe support. And she starts crying, too. So I know she's emotionally invested, and I know that they're a really close family. So I think they kind of just
the way they make her look is always kind of the conceited one of the bunch.
I see that. I get it.
So you think it's all camera angles and cuts and
kind of. Yeah.
Okay.
Sometimes
I do.
So it's like, what is real on the Kardashians?
dun, dun, dun. Real on any reality show. Dun, dun, dun.
Reality.
So in the midst of this tour that Chloe's on, she's touring, she's talking about the collection, she's evading all questions about Lamar, and bing, here comes the spring up of the leaked video of Lamar and Jamie rapping about...
Rapping.
Or
leaked rapping.
So how do you
best
think it leaked?
I ever heard.
Because if it was just him and Jamie, how do you think it leaked?
Well, if it was it recorded on their cell phone?
It looks like a cell phone recording.
So either A, well, no, they send it to someone because they thought they were amazing rappers.
And you know it was Jamie.
Like Burger King, you can have it your way.
I was like, this is brutal. This is really bad. They definitely were on something.
Oh, they're so high.
Yes.
For sure. Yeah,
they're so high. And my personal opinion, how do I think it leaked? You got to remember, you're talking about Jamie, who's a leech and doesn't make any money on his own. As far as we know, it's like he's living off of Lamar.
He's never been a trustworthy friend either.
Never. Right. He's a leech. He's a snake. And I personally believe that he knows that kind of video at this point in their relationship would be worth thousands of dollars.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So he probably made a cool 10, 20 grand off of a video
leak. The fact that
Lamar's
still friends with him, you know, it just blows my mind.
Clearly, he's not in the right place.
Frame of mind.
Well, now he's in Spain, so has anyone heard anything about him?
No.
Maybe Jamie went with him.
Hope not.
Of course Jamie went with him. You know he's going to Spain with Lamar.
It's so messed up that in that video, you know, he talks about cheating on Chloe, and he talks about how she can't conceive. Like, you don't talk about a woman's problem like that. Like, how hurtful can you be? You're supposed to love this woman, and that's what you say? Like...
Or to even rap about the subject in general after everything. It's like, come on, Lamar. Pull it together.
That was just hurt my ears for like 3 minutes.
Yeah. It was pretty bad. It was bad.
I think that whole not being able to conceive thing, though, if I could just go on a tangent about it, I think that has a lot to do with, you remember how beautiful Chloe and Lamar were when they had their TV show out?
Yeah.
They were beautiful. It was magic. Everybody wanted to have... the Chloe and Lamar relationship.
Lamb,
the whole thing. It was perfect. He had his thing going. She was doing her thing. And then they came together and it was beautiful. Magic. We all loved it. Nobody hated it. Now, her not being able to conceive, I think, caused a little bit of a divide. It caused some insecurities in her, I think. This is my opinion. And it also caused him to kind of stray away from... that nice little nest that they had. So I think there was some depression on both sides. And unfortunately, he dealt with most of his depression by medicating himself with illegal substances, Lamar. Those are illegal. And she's just trying to hold on to him still. He's not talked. He hasn't spoken to her in 2 months. This is a marriage we're talking about. You know, your husband disappears for weeks and weeks at a time. He uses a cell phone. He uses those disposable phones. You know, situations like that. I mean, they have all the money at their disposal. So those kind of things, I feel like, is with her still clutching and holding on up until this episode. I think it was more so she felt bad that she wasn't able to give him a child.
That's definitely plausible.
Yeah.
Thank you guys for letting me get that all
but
out.
He shouldn't make her feel worse about it. I mean, that's nothing she can control. Like, that's not her fault. So why make her feel bad about it?
Well, he's obviously not operating in the right mind frame. I don't think he's...
But do you think that his initial reason to medicate himself was because she couldn't conceive?
No.
Okay.
I think it added to it.
Yeah.
He's dealing with a bunch of stuff
from
his dad and the family and whatever. The kid that he lost, he never really got over it. And I think he's got a lot of psychological things happening. But
yeah,
I think that not being able to conceive just caused like a a slight divide for them. It like broke that beautiful circle they had going.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
Got so deep there.
Wow.
Hope you guys are paying attention out there. It doesn't come that often. I just blacked out, and that's what happened.
You had a Scott moment.
Yes.
It's okay.
So, continuing on them, I guess, here is Chloe. She's saying things at this stage in their relationship, like the video has been released. Lamar, I guess, is calling her to apologize. Not, I mean, from what they're saying, we don't know how true that is. And she's saying, you know, don't talk to me unless you want to be accountable. And I'm like, I was confused by that statement because I'm like, okay, so he can talk to you if he wants to say, hey, babe, I messed up. Is that all right? What is she trying to say?
Well, like they were talking about the end. She feels guilty. She doesn't want to let go because she does believe in their marriage so much. And she believes in the commitment that she made. So, I mean, I think, I don't know. I know I've been in situations where like that, you want to keep giving that person one last, you know, chance, hoping that they're going to take that one last bait. And like she says, I've threatened him and he's not.
Yeah.
He's not taking it, you know, but I feel guilty for letting go. So I totally understand when you're all in that love emotion and you really care about someone, sometimes you just, you know, you don't do what's best because you want what you had.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
And a lot of times people just threat and the other person doesn't take them serious. So
that's clearly what's happening in this situation too.
Was it the boy who cried wolf, right?
I wonder if he was in shock when he got that divorce paper.
I don't think so. I think he was kind of ready for it. That's, again, my opinion.
Well, remember
what I've heard about Lamar.
News and gossip, that week that he went to Spain, he was still wearing his wedding ring. And that had been after the papers were filed. So I don't know what his if he has motive or ulterior motive or he's
maybe he really likes
that bling. Because it's pretty blingy.
He likes the ring. He's keeping it on.
I don't feel like he's taking anything seriously at all.
I guess he's not in that, like we were saying, he's not in that mind frame to take things seriously. So maybe hopefully Spain's doing him some good right now.
Shoot. I can't imagine it is. He's kind of a big kid though. You're talking about a guy who
is a
professional athlete that eats candy during a game. You know, nobody else does that. Nobody.
I want to do that.
You want to play in the NBA and eat some gummy bears?
Really, I feel like athletes are the ones to eat whatever they want.
No, I'm not saying he can't eat whatever he wants, but this guy he got in trouble for eating candy during the game.
Because he wasn't getting high. He needed a sugar high.
He had
to hold his,
he needed some sort of high.
I got to get
high. He had to hold his withdrawals over somehow.
So, yeah, I don't know. The candy thing makes me feel like Lamar's kind of still a big adolescent. I don't know. He is.
Poor baby.
So then comes the intervention. And then they march in. Malika, Kim, and Courtney. The perfect intervention team.
It was a sad intervention, right?
It was, very much so. Yeah. Lots of tears.
Lots of tears.
Lots of tears. Initiated by Kim.
I think it needed to be said because Chloe wasn't really talking about it. Anytime anyone would bring up Lamar, she just kind of, you know, just like even when her mom was like, is it for real over? And she was like she was done.
Yeah.
Like she did what she had to do. Like, okay, it's done. Leave me alone.
Yeah. Yeah. I always felt like Chloe's just about to burst at some point. We just don't ever get to see it. You know, we get to see it kind of like breaking at the seams. She kind of teared up a little bit and started crying, but I feel like she's just going to go nuts at some point. I want to see her.
She's kind of the stronghold for the family. I mean, seasons past too, she just really keeps her feelings inside and is the glue for the family.
Yeah.
She doesn't want people to see like this is actually hard and that she's struggling. So that was big for her to even have any tears about
it. Yeah, she really does. She does care a lot about what everyone thinks. I know they all know that they're all in the spotlight, but like she says, she's worried about the paparazzi. She has anxiety about the paparazzi with this. Like, so I think she overthinks probably.
Yeah.
Wait, when's her birthday?
I know. I was thinking, what's her
sign? Is she?
I'm a Virgo, but I'm just like that. I like close everything off. I don't let it come out.
Funny until... if she was a Virgo.
That would be funny.
Well, you know, it was really, I think one of the quotes she said that was really sad, she said she felt like she still wasn't good enough. You know, she didn't, she kind of still blames herself for this whole marriage debacle.
Which it says a lot about her. It just says, you know, how good of a person she is. Like, after all she's been through, she's still caring about other people's feelings over hers. So that's why I love Chloe.
Yeah. She does put everyone before herself, and she has put Lamar before everything in her life for how long now? How long did we say they've been together?
At least 4 years, I think, around there.
Yeah. I mean, she's dropped everything to do everything for him. So it's sad. It's sad to see her even tear up about it, truly.
I think that's why she has so much fun with the Kendi and Kendi.
Kendall.
Kendi.
Kendi and Kyra.
Kylie and Kendall. Like, she, you know, she's always goofing off with them. So that's probably her, like, release right there.
Yeah.
Yeah. She has a good time with them.
Get in with the family and wrestle around a little bit. They wrestle a lot.
A lot.
It's pretty funny. So even though it's not a news flash, Chloe actually does file for divorce and goes through with it, which I thought was very strong for her, and it was the best move, as hard as it was. You know, I'm glad that she did it. I thought this was kind of funny, though. Kris Jenner says, well, you know, the first time I got divorced, and just that opening statement from her.
Yeah, I went like this.
I'm like...
a little cringe.
You know, the first time I got divorced, Kim, the first time I got divorced. Now, Chloe, the first time I got divorced. You know what I'm saying? It's such a...
Courtney's sitting there just like...
Told y'all, don't get married.
This is exactly why.
I have the answer. Don't get married. No, yeah. That I thought it was ironic. I thought it was, you know, it's just a weird... For a mom having to be that person to watch her daughters go through kind of what she set the stage for.
Yeah.
You know?
Have Kris and Bruce gotten a divorce yet? Like, is it fine? I know they're separated. I know that's final. But has the divorce actually happened?
Kris is pretty business-minded, so I'm pretty sure she won't have a divorce filing official until it's the right time for... Like, the show is over or something. Or
maybe after the wedding.
Or after the wedding. You know, she doesn't want to be...
Everything is very calculated.
Yes, it is.
It's got to hit at the right time,
right.
She don't want to steal Kim's thunder.
As soon as there's a lull in their popularity, then she'll get a divorce. Bring it back. Ta-da!
There are the papers.
I'm getting a divorce.
Just when we stop talking about it, then it'll kick back in.
Yeah. That's right. And y'all stay with us because we'll be talking about it again on next season.
And again.
All right, so let's talk a little bit about Rob, the lone wolf Kardashian boy.
I feel so bad for him. I just wanted to hug him.
Yeah, I do feel so bad for Rob.
Yeah, Rob's going through it. Rob's gained, I think you said he was 260 pounds.
That's
260 around there. I think, yeah.
And again, you know, we're just giving it to you as it plays on the. On the show, we all know that Rob has made some efforts to lose weight, and he's been successful to a certain degree, and he's continuing his work. But as far as the show goes, Rob at that point was, they said your liver should be anywhere from 0 to 44, and his was at a 217.
Yeah.
I felt like either, is that real, or is he... Should he just die? Like, if you're...
Well, they said he would get diabetes, so they're like, your liver's shutting down, but then the diabetes came in. So if I'm like, if he didn't, like, follow doctor's orders, what would happen? Like, what's the... They never said what the worst thing could happen.
Right.
Like, death?
Well, like, when your liver shuts down, then...
You're gonna die.
Yeah.
but they were talking about two different things. They were like, he's gonna be a diabetic, and then they're like, your organs are shutting down.
Well, there's a couple aspects to it. I mean, he could be... pre-diabetic because of his weight, and then the liver is kind of another subject that they don't really touch on, like alcoholism or anything like that. But at the same time, for your liver function to be that way, you have to kind of assume that alcohol plays a role in
absolutely
this, so. He has depression problems, so
but I just, the number is just what was baffling me. I mean, 0 to 44, 44 times 2 is 88. You know what I'm saying? 217?
Yeah.
That's, okay. That's like five times what he should be.
It's a very scary number, and I think that's what kind of made him tick, because as we've all watched in seasons past, he's had struggled with this weight problem over and over, and it's like the cycle that keeps going. He's like, I'll lose weight, I'm with my trainer, I'm going to eat healthy, but it takes him being ready and that particular person to be like, wow, this is a wake-up call.
Yeah.
And I think this was Rob's actual wake-up call, and it makes me so happy, because you just, what could have happened? What would have happened if he kept going down this track, you know? So we're cheering you on, Rob.
I think he's going to lose it. I think he's going to.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think he'll get down to the weight he wants to be, and he'll be a stud muffin again.
Yes, he will.
Well, these girls think it's Rob's hot. So, well, you know, Rob, we're with you. We're voting for you to lose the weight and get there. It was really funny. Chris was trying to console Rob, and she goes, you have to know that this issue is bigger than you are. I was like, let's choose our words. Let's just choose the
That's
right
probably
words.
Probably why he started crying.
Yeah.
I thought that was just, I can't think of the word, but the fact that he cried, like, we see Kim cry all the time, and mostly her.
You love Kim's cry face.
I love her cry face. But to see Rob get very vulnerable like that, I think, you know, like you said, he finally got it. And just, you know, I don't want people to, like, I don't want to sit down because I don't want people to see how I look fat. Like, that's not typical comments you hear from guys.
Oh, gosh, it was so hard to hear that.
Yeah, you hear it from the girls and you just brush it off. They're like, I look like a whale. And you're like, shut the front door. But, like, to hear a guy say that and, you know, be crying. And I thought that was interesting, too. He wanted to get rid of some tattoos that he got, you know, during probably the time
the
that
phase,
he was. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's super emotional, because I don't think you can just throw ink on you that's going to be permanent if you don't have some sort of connection to the design, what you chose, you know what I mean? So he's definitely going through a lot of emotion. I thought that was nice that you got to see his vulnerable side.
He wants a fresh start.
Yes.
He also getting rid of the tattoos, I think he thinks is a fresh start, and losing weight, so it'll be a whole new him.
Yeah, I think he also wants his family to believe in him, because, like, in Kim in this episode, oh, Rob again. You know, they constantly think Rob is just a screw-up, essentially. And when you look at the family dynamic, yeah, he doesn't stand out. He's not doing business-savvy things, blah, blah, blah.
Sure.
But he does it's really
thing,
sad. Yeah,
George.
But cool. They still never took it seriously.
Yeah.
They never did. And I think he really wants his family to respect him and trust what he's doing and cheer him on, essentially. Because you don't want to just be like the outcast. That's how he feels. I just know it.
Well, we're behind him. Rob's got a nutritionist, a trainer, workout regimen, and he's looking better already. I think he's lost like 15, 20 pounds already. So good luck, Rob. Our hope and prayers are with you.
Yeah, he's in good hands.
That's so let's talk a little bit of news and gossip so we can get it out of
AfterBuzz TV News.
You want to start us off?
Oh.
Yeah.
We'll just go down the line.
New girl.
Okay, let's see. Well, wow. Kanye. Kanye asked Jay-Z to be the best man in his wedding, and Jay-Z said no.
Hove.
Boom, in your face.
Because the cameras will be filming, and Beyonce was not okay with that. Not okay. So?
He basically said, we are worth a lot more money than you.
Correct.
So, that being said, we will not be attending.
Kind of sad, though, right? Could you see if you asked someone to be your best man, and they were like, nope.
Yeah, it's tough. I mean, don't ask Jay-Z to be your best man. It's just...
Why not? They're on the same level.
No. Jay-Z is a legend, and he signed Kanye. Oh. Kanye is one of his artists. They're not on the same level.
Well, even tackier, because they're friends.
But they're friends.
That's what I was going to say.
It's a mentor-mentee relationship.
He really just said no because of the cameras. He's like, if the cameras are going to be there, I don't want them with my baby, with Beyonce. I don't want anything to do with that.
I got you.
Don't bring them.
I agree with Hove. Always. Throw your rock sign up, baby. What you got, Francesca?
Okay, so you're always talking about how Chloe is dating the game.
Yeah.
But...
I just say boning. I think they boning.
Oh, friends with benefits is a nicer term to use. He tweeted that those are just rumors. It's funny because me and Chloe, we cool. I've been knowing Chloe for 12 years. I went and dated Kim a while ago, a long time ago. He said that they went on a couple dates to McDonald's drive-thru.
I love that part.
So he's all, you know, he's already been in the Kardashian dish, and he's saying he's not double dipping. So
that's my kind of date, McDonald's drive-thru.
Mm. That's where you take her after you've already boned, and you're like, you just want to grab something real quick so nobody...
You got to feed the friends.
You got what you got, Jesse friends. Owens? Miss Jesse Owens.
Okay, so Kim and Kanye signed their prenuptial agreement, and basically it says that for every year that they're married, Kim will get $1 million, except for after 10 years, then it just stops.
Cups.
Big loss there.
Yeah.
But if they divorce, she's still going to get the Bel Air mansion that isn't completed yet. And she also gets benefits from his life insurance that is valued at $20 million.
Mm.
So, but we'll see. It seems like, I don't think they'll break up. But, you know, the wedding's in Paris, May 24th.
You know there was no mention of the baby in the prenup. I thought that was so interesting.
Well, yeah, who gets the baby?
Because, I mean, like, they're both going to share. They're going to, like, share custody, obviously. I don't think either one would try to take the baby. So that's probably wasn't an issue. I think they're just worried about money.
Yeah. Naturally. Yeah.
Baby second, money first. I got you. Well, you guys, thank you guys again for joining us. Another Keeping Up with the Kardashians. K-U-W-T-K.
You got it. Woo!
He can spell, everybody.
That's not spelling.
She's
anyway.
Been beating on you today.
Been beating me all day. Like I said, I'm Stefan. Y'all can find me on Instagram or Twitter if you use that still. I am More Fire.
Ah, and I am Miss Jesse Owen. And you can find me on Instagram and Twitter at Miss Jesse Owen.
Yes. And this is Francesca. You can find me on Instagram, Twitter, and Vine, XOXOCESCA.
You guys are so organized with your names. Twitter, Danielle Elise P, and Instagram, Danielle Pacenti.
Nice.
We need you to spell those out.
Really? The whole shebang? You'll see me.
Thank you guys for sticking with us. We got more Keeping Up next week. So see us back. Holla.
Bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later!
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principal.
Thank you for watching AfterBuzz TV on YouTube. For more of your favorite after shows and interviews, subscribe to our channel here. And be sure to share your opinion on the episode in the comment section below here. We'd love to see what you guys are buzzing about. Thanks again. Buzz you later.